He's given National Intelligence Council briefings, as well as the CIA, the State Department, Department of Defense, the alphabet soup of government agencies, and also testified in front of the U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs. We are blessed to have one of the preeminent masters of information about China and what China stands to benefit or lose with its potential saber-rattling or proxy wars with the United States. It's Gordon Chang, and Gordon Chang can be found on his X handle. You can follow him on X at Gordon J. Chang. Gordon, how are you?
I'm fine, Rocky, and thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you on. Listen, there's so much breaking about China right now and about the relationship with Russia and China and Russia with North Korea. Can you kind of unravel what's been happening this last week with China and the entire operations between Russia and North Korea for us?
Yeah, probably the most important thing that happened in Asia was, of course, Vladimir Putin going to Pyongyang and for them to sign up a comprehensive strategic partnership agreement, which included a clause which looks like a treaty, a mutual defense treaty. But also of importance this week is the Chinese belligerent actions at Second Thomas Shoal last Monday, the 17th, where China seized two Philippine craft, rammed another, injured at least eight Filipino sailors, including one seriously. And they did this all in defiance of American warnings. So really, it shows that deterrence has broken down. And you put these two things together, and it's clear that there is in a camp, China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, and some other countries. And this is the world dividing into parts. So we've got a very different international system these days, one which is much more dangerous.
But, you know, is China really the bank to this, what Bush called the evil empire once upon a time? Is China the financier of all of this?
Yes, it is, actually, because we know that it is supporting the Russian war effort in Ukraine, and it keeps North Korea afloat, as well as Iran. China's been purchasing a lot of oil from Iran. So, for instance, last year, more than 90% of Iran's exports of crude oil went to China. And that has permitted Iran to attack Israel through its proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthi militia. All of those three terrorist groups have substantial quantities of Chinese weapons. I mean, the list goes on and on, but China is the combatant, the main combatant in the Middle East right now. And so we see a China that is destabilizing the world, throwing it into chaos.
And, you know, I actually served in Africa as well, and I'm seeing news reports that are just breaking the wire right now that Kenyan defense forces were firing on Kenyans that were protesting at their military. And I remember China has now been all over that Horn of Africa area, as well as Kenya, Tanzania. And why are they there? And that's number one. And number two is, if China is the financier of all this, who's funding China?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned North Africa, because I think that China's fighting three proxy wars: Ukraine, Israel, and North Africa.
Exactly.
And in North Africa, the Wagner Group before then was being financed by China to destabilize countries. And we see this both north and south of the Sahara, where China and Russia are fielding insurgencies that look like wars. And the question, why is China doing this? And who's financing China? Well, China finances itself, but we finance China ultimately because we buy their products, we invest in their country. So this is our fault. I mean, if we want China to stop attacking us, if we want China to stop fueling the war in Ukraine and all the other bad things it's doing, then we should just stop buying its products, because China couldn't do this without our money.
But you know what, Gordon? A lot of American economists are still saying that if we decouple financially from China, we could be hurting our own economy. Can you kind of address that a little bit and what China's biggest fear is of the United States becoming independent again?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, when you stop trading with a country, it will have some negative effects. But everything we do going forward will have negative effects. And if we want to stop China attacking us, if we feel that China shouldn't be killing 75,000 Americans with fentanyl, then yes, we're going to have to take some setbacks. You know, you can't think that we can go forward after three decades of truly misguided China policy and not suffer some cost. So yes, we'll have to do it. But I believe that killing 75,000 Americans with fentanyl, in addition to other things, is completely unacceptable, and we have to stop funding it. And it's not only a question of economics, it's a strategic issue, but ultimately, it's a moral issue.
You know, one of the other interesting things is NPR, as a matter of fact, put out an article, actually, that talked about these Chinese illegal immigrants that are crossing through our southern border that are working in cannabis, Chinese-owned cannabis plantations in New Mexico. Are you tracking the amount of Chinese nationals that are crossing through our southern border? And what is their true intent? Is it to find freedom, like you see when they're being interviewed, or is it more sinister than that?
Well, it's not only New Mexico. It's also Oklahoma and Maine, and it's actually throughout the country where Chinese migrants have been involved in illegal marijuana grows. But they've also, in Oklahoma, for instance, been basing human trafficking operations on agricultural land. We see a lot of triad murders, so they're bringing crime with them. There's a million different motivations, as many motivations as there are individuals coming across. Some people want to live here and desperate to live in a free society, but others are coming here to harm us. And so we look at the change in composition of Chinese migrants. 2 years ago, primarily family groups. Now it is 80 to 85% single males, military age, traveling without family members. Border Patrol knows that some of them have links to the Chinese military. And we know they're engaging in very dangerous and belligerent activities when they come here. So this is a change in composition that is completely indicative of intent.
Gordon Chang, thank you for being on with us. Gordon Chang has been an attorney who spent over two decades in mainland China. And you can follow Gordon on his X at Gordon G. Chang. Thank you for being on with us on Focus on WJR. We'll be back.